break it down, down like this.
Hey, hey, welcome along everyone to Tempo Fit Workout of the Week. My name is Hayden Shearman and I am so stoked that you have tuned into the show. Not only that, I'm so stoked that you are pursuing running as a sport, pursuing this thing of trying to get the most out of your body and mind, improve your health, your wellness, your mental well-being, seeing the lessons that you can take from running and apply it into your life. It is so good that you're tuned in. This week's workout, we are doing the finale of our fartlek ladder sessions. This is the last one for the month. We're doing five this month. So ladder session number five. Here it is. This is the big one we've all been waiting for. We are going to start off with 2 times 15 seconds. Then we're going to move to 2 times 30 seconds, 2 times 1 minute, 2 times 2 minute, and then we step it back down 2 times 1 minute, 2 times 30 seconds, 2 times 15 seconds. Now, all of those intervals, time-based intervals, are going to be followed by 1 minute recovery. Okay, 1 minute recovery between all of them. Pace-wise, we want you starting at around about 800 meter effort, then slowing up each time you step up in duration to that middle 2 minute, 2 times 2 minute efforts. They're going to be sort of 5K efforts. So 2 times 15 seconds, 800, 2 times 30 seconds, maybe about 1500 meter pace, mile pace, 2 times 1 minute, probably about 3K pace, and then 2 times 2 minutes, around about 5K pace. The one little spanner that I'm going to throw into the works for this ladder session is those 2 times 30 seconds at the start and at the end. I want you to do those up a hill. That's right, they're going to be hill reps. So wherever you do your session today, ideally it will be off-road, maybe on some grass, on a gravel track somewhere. I want that to be mostly flat, except for the little hill reps that we're going to do. So find somewhere where you can run this session where it's mostly flat, but you've got a little 30-second hill that you can include in it. So we want to do some hills, and that's a little sign of what's coming up next month. More about that later in the show. So if you are new to the show, if you've just jumped into Workout of the Week midway through this month, a little heads up on how fartlek ladder sessions work. First of all, fartlek, it's a Swedish word for speed play. Basically means that we're not concerned about the exact paces we're running. We're not concerned about exact distances we're running in our intervals. These are time-based intervals, and we're just going to play around with that speed. We're going to listen to our body. We're going to tune into the movements that our body's making. We're especially going to pay attention to technique in this particular session. But that's the idea of fartlek, is to give yourself a bit of freedom. The latter part of it simply means that we start with shorter intervals, we go longer and slower in the middle, and then we come back down the ladder and they get faster and shorter. So a quick reminder, we're going to start with those 2 times 15 seconds in intervals, 1 minute jog recovery after each of those. Then we go to 2 times 30 seconds, 1 minute jog recovery, 2 times 1 minute, 1 minute jog recoveries, 2 times 2 minutes, 1 minute jog recoveries. And then we come back down the ladder, 2 times 1 minute, 2 times 30 seconds, 2 times 15, doing the 30 seconds on the hills. So why the hills, first of all? Why are we throwing that in? Well, it's because we're trying to prepare for October, which is going to be the hills month. We are attacking the hills. Now, I will talk more about how we're going to do that if you live somewhere flat where you can't tackle those hills. So I'll talk a little bit about that next week. But we want to prepare for the body for what's going to come next month. Obviously, this month we've been trying to stay off-road, trying to keep the terrain interesting. So you're getting a bit of hill conditioning to that. And as we transition into next month, we're going to be more intentional around the hill workouts that we're doing. So that's an important part of that 30-second one. The other important part that we're going to look at today is really around technique. And pretty much without fail, when in workout of the week, we do really fast stuff for short periods of time, like the 2 times 15 seconds. That is primarily technique work. We want you to be fresh enough that you can run fast and efficient, not sprinting. It's very rare that I'll get you to sprint in these sessions. And that's primarily because that's a different type of workout. Like the workout of the week is generally, we want a bit of physiological conditioning. We're not just about improving that top end speed. That's a different type of session. They're usually shorter, usually got a lot of recovery, but we get a little bit of that today and we don't want to max it out, if that kind of makes sense. So we want to go to that point. We're into that speed zone. We're hitting the top end of the range, but we're not maxing out. So you're fully in control of your body, of your movements. You're running fast, you're running controlled, but you're not maxing out. You're sort of 96-97%. And that the best way to describe that would be sort of 800 meter pace. For those who are a bit more experienced, you might even step it up to 400 meter pace for those last two 400s. But for everyone else, keep it more like 800 meter pace. What you could hold for, you know, 2 to 2.5 minutes, that sort of pace. The other thing that this workout's doing is in the middle, you're definitely getting through some intensity. So your heart rate's going to be up. Your breathing rate's going to be cranking along. And then as you come back down in duration, the relative distance or duration from work to recovery is going to become a lot easier. So it should become a lot more about speed and technique towards the end of it. So we start with that speed and technique while you're fresh, then we add some intensity, and then we see if can you come back to that good speed and technique at the end, after you've done those hill reps, can you bang out two really good quality 15 second intervals at the end? So that's why we're doing this session. As always with these ladder sessions, we're ticking lots of boxes, getting a lot of work done, and it's really preparing us for the next stage in our training, which for us is going to be a good hill block in October.
Oh yeah, oh yeah.
So a couple of quick notes on how to attack these sessions. Particularly with the 15 second and the 30 second intervals, I mentioned before about not hitting that sprint zone. And that's because I want you to express control. I want you to be in charge of the movements of your body. Your limbs are going to be moving fast. And I want you to think about, you know, not having that wasted energy movement through the arms and, you know, arms crossing your midline, shoulders rocking and rolling everywhere. I want you to be strong and really express good core control. Feel your glutes powering your feet back every time they hit the ground, really driving those knees through in that recovery phase, bringing your heel high up towards your backside, all that stuff. So we don't want you maxing out. We want you in control, able to express good technique and being aware of those movements. The other thing I want you to be really in control of is in those middle sections, when it gets intense, be in command of yourself. Like, so when things get intense, when you start to feel fatigued, often that's when you can get sloppy as well. You can get sloppy when you're running really, really fast because you're trying to push too hard and strain rather than cruise. I want you to really think about when things get intense, also thinking about being in command. So you've got some tools to your arsenal. We've talked about these lots on the show: quick cadence, arm drive, standing tall. So use those cues to be in command of the movements when things start to get a little bit tough. They won't get super tough in this session. If they are, you're probably just going a little bit too hard. But just stay in command. And the last thing I'd mention, I think I may have mentioned this earlier in the show, don't do today's workout on really technical terrain. You're going to be running fast for all of it. So flat-ish terrain that's not too crazy underfoot. You know, I'm thinking good grass field or, you know, limestone chip pathway, something that's very reliable underfoot. You're not going to roll an ankle. You don't have to keep an eye out for roots. So today I want to talk for the thought for the week about coaching. And are you interested in getting into running coaching? Like, the world needs more runners. Running is a really hard thing. It is psychologically and physiologically very difficult not to just go out and run, you know, a few meters down the street or run around the block, but to pursue and really untap your potential, avoid getting injured, avoid that self-doubt. And that's the big real key. There's physiological things going on, there's psychological things going on. So you need to be able to grasp both. And coaches form a really important role in that world of helping people through that journey. So I want to give you a few tips. I've got six things written down on my little notes here of things that you can do to get started. First of all, just start with yourself. Be a student of your own running. Keep a training diary, analyze the numbers, analyze how you're feeling, look inside yourself, video yourself running, work on your technique. Ask yourself, you know, how are you feeling after certain runs? How's that recovery going? What things worked for you? What things don't? Secondly, read lots. There are so many good running coaching books out there. And I guess the first thing that I'd preface that with is books tend to span the full spectrum of running coaching methodologies. So just be aware of that going into it. Go into it with an open mind. Don't just read your first book and accept that as gospel for the rest of your running coaching, because every book can add something to your knowledge and add something to your experience. So the place that I would start would be a guy called Jack Daniels. He follows quite a formulaic approach to his running coaching, but it gives you a really good foundation into the different energy systems, the different reasons behind those energy systems, and really good strong foundation in terms of physiological inputs and outputs that we're looking for. From there, you can sort of spread your wings further afield. So, you know, Arthur Lydiard, one of the most influential running coaches in history, Peter Coe, the father of Sebastian Coe. And then there's a lot of modern writers as well who, so if you can probably hit about six different books, you know, starting with Jack Daniels, doing an Arthur Lydiard one, doing a Peter Coe, and some more modern authors, it'll really give you a good overview. And like I say, go into it with an open mind. Don't just settle on the first book and say, this is the book that I'm following. Because like with that Jack Daniels book, it's a formulaic approach, which will work a lot of the time. It'll get you sort of 60% of the way there. But for that other 40%, you're going to need nuance. You've got to understand the athlete and adapt it to that athlete. And so it's really important to take on board rules and rules, theories from coaches, and then say, well, how can this one apply to this particular athlete? So read widely and go into it with an open mind. Along with that, get a mentor or three. Like, I've got people that I am friends with. I've got my first running coach that I'm still in contact with now. I've got people who work in elite running. I've got people who work in absolute beginner running. You know, I look up to them all. I look at what they do and they're like, far out, you're way more knowledgeable than me in those areas. I sort of work somewhere in between elite and beginner running. That's sort of the niche that I've focused on. But it's so good being able to go to someone who has a really successful beginner running program and really understand what they do. And it's so different to what that elite running coach does. It was worlds apart. But there's lots you can learn from both of them. So find the people that you can meet with regularly, talk to on the phone or go for runs with, that you can really look up to and pick their brains. So mentors are really important. If you don't have one, get along to your local running club. There's almost guaranteed to be someone who's very knowledgeable in your local running club. Number four, start with coaching friends and family. So this is like just the perfect place to start, because you know this person really well, you know their background really well, and you're in contact with them a lot. So this makes it a lot easier to coach them. Now, the one thing that I would say is ask them lots and lots of questions, get lots of feedback. You want to know that they understand what you're saying, And that you're well aware of the stress that the training is putting on their body and on their mind. So get that feedback. It's really important to collect as much data from the athlete as possible, particularly early on in your running coaching life, because you don't know what they're experiencing, what they're interpreting from you. You know, you might tell them to go out and do some strides, you know, 6 times 10 seconds, and that. Absolutely gunning it full balls to the wall sprinting, and they end up injured, or you know, they're not getting enough recovery between the strides. So it's important that you really understand what they're doing and what they're feeling. All right, number 5, balance physiology with psychology. Like, I cannot underscore this enough. Physiology is probably 20% of the coach's job. Seriously, the exercise scientist, that is the realm of just physiology. We are looking at the whole person, not just the athlete. There's so much psychology, so much emotional health and mental wellness that comes into it. And as a coach, you need to be aware of that. It's the person that creates the athlete, not the other way around. So really be aware of coaching the psychology, not just the physiology. And lastly, have a look around at different courses you can take. So most governing bodies in athletics will have a World Athletics certified coaching program that you can do. And look, even the beginner, like kids coaching programs, are really helpful for giving you that basic understanding of the coach's role. Like, and they will emphasize the importance of psychology over physiology, you know, emotional health over just getting the end results. Like, when you're happy, the results come. So just keep that in mind. So there we go. Start with yourself. Read lots, get a mentor or three, coach friends and family, balance out that physiology and the psychology, and find a course, find something that you can attend and upskill yourself. Hey, yeah, 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 yeah. Wow, this show has gone overtime, so thanks for sticking with me. Once again, the workout is this. 2 times 15 seconds, 2 times 30 seconds, they are uphill for the 30-second ones, 2 times 1 minute, 2 times 2 minutes, and then we come back down, 2 times 1 minute, 2 times 30 seconds, uphill, 2 times 15 seconds. All the recoveries are 1 minute long exactly, and you're going to start around 800-meter race effort, and in the middle of the workout, slow down to about 5K race effort, and then finish at about 800-meter race effort. Keep the terrain sensible underfoot, except for the hill ones. We want you on the flat. Have fun with this session. Well done, everyone, for crushing fartlek ladder sessions this month. Bring on the hills next month. Woo!